For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. A final short and sweet show this week as the season draws to an end. Circumstances and timing, I didn't get round to speak to everybody I wanted to this season, but with moves afoot for next term already, hopefully their time will come and we can hear their stories very soon. So until then, we round up the week's affairs with non-league paper executive editor John Couch. Plenty to discuss with him, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So the non-league world never really sleeps, and I'm almost certain the man on the other end of this phone doesn't either. He's always there, he's always busy, and he's always got his fingers in the non-league pie. I speak, of course, of my man at Non-League Paper Towers, the one and only executive editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thank you very much, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I could do with some sleep, and, you know, some of us are going to put our feet up for a few weeks and recharge. I know that you guys are going to keep going, but you almost sort of rounded off or brought close to the season this week. So let's start with the Non-League Paper's National Game Award, sponsored by Buildbase, held at AFC Wimbledon earlier in the week. Now, you and I have seen so much of each other recently. I think people are going to be talking about you as a maybe future Hazen Yedding United recruit. I mean, I don't know. I've not checked the stats, but no Hazen Yedding at the awards. But there was I can't say the good, the bad, and the ugly, can I? There was the good and the humble of non-league in attendance. And I won't steal your thunder for Sunday's paper and go for all the awards, but let's start with the good and humble of non-league. And the Unsung Hero Award going to James Doe, old friend of the show and founder of Non-League Day. That little initiative of his, we all owe so much to him, don't we?
Yeah, it's an incredible story, isn't it? I mean, he was telling us how he went to a pre-season tour, I think, with QPR down at Harrow in 2010, and realised that, you know, there's a non-league world out there that needs support, pinpointed the international weekends as the ideal time to do that. So he launched Non-League Day, and look at it now. It's a huge day in the calendar. One of the biggest in the non-league calendar, and clubs have really embraced it with schemes to entice fans in. It's not only just entice fans. On that one day of the year, it's helped crowds grow right throughout the pyramid, and it's been a tremendous success. James is a very humble person. He was certainly not someone who blows his own trumpet, so to speak. And we thought he was long overdue some recognition for his efforts, and I think Unsung Hero sums him up pretty perfectly.
I think he does, and you know, we do all thank him for all his time and his effort. And I know, you know, we all do loads of stuff for non-league, but I know certainly in the early years, it was more than just a labour of love, shall we say. I think it was, you know, almost James was, you know, subsidising Non-League Day, and I think he's been able to get some sponsors on board and help, so he's not abusing his own life as much as it was. But it just shows how much, you know, a lot of these unsung heroes put into the game at non-league level. Yeah, another one of your awards. I was really interested to hear from William Hill, fan of the year, Christine Green at Grimsby Town, and the effort that she's put in their single year back in non-league. And obviously she's looking forward to going back up into the Football League, but I think she's going to miss us.
Yeah, I think she is. I mean, Christine's another one. Again, with very, very humble in her approach. When we invited her down, and she was almost a little bit sort of like cautious as to why, and eventually we had to say, look, we've won an award. She was, really? Why? Wow. You know, she was amazed that she won an award, but she was Just an example of how a lot typical non-league fan can really help rouse a club, and she was tremendous in that 1 year at Grimsby Town, not notably also for the playoff campaign and the build up to the finals. A lot of talking, a lot of people or press and that were talking to her about ticket prices, and it was all a little bit hectic for her, but she stayed calm and she was the voice of Grimsby Town, and very proudly doing so as well. And she's someone that's very special in the game that need to be recognised. And that category fan of the year, I think you could probably get a good candidate for that in most football clubs, because there's hundreds of top volunteers out there who do a lot for their football club, and that's why we love non-league.
Yeah, and the National Game Awards are always a great window as to the magic that goes on up and down the country at non-league level. And you say about we had these humble award winners for off the field awards. Goal of the season as well. Ollie Babington, his goal in January, wasn't it? Cleveland Town against Buckland Athletic. I know you ribbed him about maybe mentioning it a few times. Had a brilliant chat with him. I don't think you mentioned it once, but it just shows. I think it's why we love non-league. I've got some great people that higher up in the game of football, and I don't know, maybe it's just that more celebrity culture. The higher up you go up, you have to be more about you rather than the wider game. But I think that all of those winners this week, and I'm sure you'll cover it in this weekend's paper, are ambassadors of the non-league game.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so, and that's an excellent point you make. Ollie was a joy to have down. He was slightly different from the others. Not quite so. He absolutely lapped it up. He loved it. I think he enjoyed his. I think he enjoyed his place in the spotlight, and rightly so. It was absolute worldie of a goal. You Google non-league goal of the year, he's everywhere. It was actually worldy, and he really loved it. He stayed with us right until very late. He stayed with us to the after party as well, and he really enjoyed sort of like mingling with other non-league faces and sponsors, and he revelled in. The whole experience, and but as you say about non-league, that's what makes it so special. That's what makes our National Game Awards ceremony so special every year. And in fact, it's a rare occasion where people like yourself and the rest of non-league can get together and have a beer and meet and talk about the season as a whole and celebrate everything that we love about the game.
Yeah, I don't want everybody to think that it was just a pure jolly, because very good business going on. There's a lot of old fires restoked, lots of new ideas sort of coming together, and I'm sure over the summer there'll be a lot more coming out about that, and a lot more coming out about the awards, I'm sure, in this weekend's paper. And I guess you'll probably also be talking about the fact that we're in AGM season. I mean, last week it saw AGM season begin, or the last week or so. I was up at the Southern League dinner at the weekend where Merthyr had been saved at step three and reinstated. I know it's not gone down well with everybody. Understandably, Leatherhead a bit put out because they had the better record over the season than PPG, points per game. That didn't keep them up. But you can almost see why Merthyr were sort of saved, just because we didn't want too much turmoil at this time of the season when, I guess leagues are also planning fixtures, and other clubs are planning where they've got to go for the season.
Yeah, I did have an element of sympathy for all parties on this occasion. It was one of those ones where you probably won't see it again. And the fact that all the casualties, sad demise, and a team that playing just 10 miles down the road from them, who could quite easily move over from Isthmian to Southern to fill their spot, and they indicated that they would be more than willing to do so. You know, so a lot of people would have seen it as a like for like, but it wasn't. It wouldn't have been a like for like, you know, because then you look at the changes sort of down below, you know, with the potential problems that would have caused the Southern and the Isthmian. So it's more of a knock on effect.
Yeah, because you've got Cinderford Town, and Cinderford Town reprieved to stay in Step 4, and at Step 5 we've got an additional promotion for Worcester Raiders that go up, and it's all those knock-ons, isn't it? And I have to say that the Merthyr one was, I'd sort of spoken about it to different people, but it was probably a bit out of the blue that was the solution, but. I suppose we'll never know the full reasoning.
No, that's right. I mean, Luke Tufts, the manager of Leatherhead's, a good friend of mine, and I had a lot of sympathy for him. His story was slightly different. He came in very late on when Leatherhead were doomed when he came in, and he launched his plan to try and rescue him, and he got so close. I think it was only King Langley scoring a goal in the
82nd minutes, wasn't it? It really was. Yeah,
knocked them down, and you really did feel for him. You thought, oh wow, this, you know, casual sad demise could be an absolute lifeline for him. But unfortunately, they couldn't quite make it stick. And I can understand the Southern League's dilemma. As I say, if it had been a Northern League club, for example, and you know, we probably wouldn't be talking about it today because they wouldn't be able to geographically piece together another pyramid. But the fact that it's Leatherhead and Walton Casuals who are so close to each other just makes it even more frustrating for Leatherhead. But I have to say, it's just one of those situations that no one really wanted at this juncture, and it would have been it was probably a little bit disappointing all round that something had to be done which wasn't to everyone's satisfaction. Yeah. And I do feel for Leatherhead, but I felt for the Southern League guys as well.
Once again, geography at this time of season in the AGM Cup, as we used to refer it to it, as a, you know, playing a part. Which is, I also see that now leaves, I think, three spots at Step 6. So not quite the perfect pyramid yet that we've all been trying to work towards. I don't know whether they're going to be filled with these other AGMs to come up, because the AGMs are continuing. Constitutions are being confirmed across the countries almost every day. Evening meetings, Zoom meetings, weekend meetings. I know the Southern Counties East, I think, and the Isthmian League, they're on this weekend. Some of these AGMs run as far as the end of the month in Step 6 and Step 7. I know the Middlesex County Football League is right at the very end of the month. So, yeah, there may still be some little tweaks yet to come that we don't know about.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's that time of the year where, as you say, it's been a bit of a constitutional nightmare for some of the admin of these leagues, but it also gives an opportunity for some of these smaller clubs who have probably never played at Step 6 before, you know, to play at a senior level. I know there's plenty of clubs out there who are trying to sort of look over the parapet and asking leagues to accept their applications and give them that go, and I think you'll find there'll be quite a few who will be given the nod. So it's an exciting time of year for some of our smaller clubs, and especially some of those clubs at Step 7 who have who toil away really without any so much sort of recognition as as they deserve. But it could be their chance to for a little bit of the spotlight. And hopefully these negotiations can go without any controversy, and we can we don't have to be talking about reprieves or ground grading, which is always a nightmare for us.
How many years have you been involved with non-league, John? Without controversy. I mean, we're yet to see it.
It doesn't happen. Yeah,
it's interesting what you say about Step 7 sides, though, because I often look at those and they often have as many burdens, all the admin, all the probably most of the costs to get a game on. They haven't got the same facilities, they haven't got the same income streams, they haven't got the same followings. So actually, maybe running a club at a Step 7 is possibly even harder than maybe a Step 3, Step 4 club. Slightly different, but to keep going week in, week out must be hard.
It must be a nightmare. I mean, there's a few Step 7 clubs sort of round by my way, and who literally just play on a field, and if they're ambitious to go higher, but in doing so they have to there are certain criteria that they have to fulfil, like you would do at every level. But when you don't get people coming in the gate and you don't get any revenue streams, or you haven't got a bar or anything like that, then it's very difficult to do so, and it's almost impossible to get sponsorship, because where are your logos going to be seen?
Yeah,
it's very, very difficult for them. But every Step 7 club, there's as we were saying earlier about volunteers, every Step 7 club, there's people behind the scenes who are working just as hard as those Step 1 clubs.
Yeah.
And, putting in the hours, it's tremendous, really.
And as you say, they're all peering, or a lot of them are. They want to come up and move up the pyramid and that sort of thing. And actually, one of the changes this week or last week announced were for lower down the pyramid. The FA Council have approved the use of 5 subs at Steps 5 and 6 next season. Now I know the combined counties, I think they trialled this last term. It had some success. My concern, though, is, like, we're talking about these Step 7 sides that are trying to, struggling, and we often, even at Step 3, I often get to a game and, maybe there's not a full complement of 5 subs on the bench, or maybe there's players named on the team sheet that, aren't even fit. Sometimes they're not even at the ground, but then they're named to sort of make up the numbers. And we're hearing these clubs lower down, maybe folding due to the lack of players. And then we're saying, that's fine. Here you are. Have 5 subs on your team sheet, and let's all move on. And it sounds great, but I'm always the sad practical man that thinks, well, that comes with more costs. That comes with kit logistically too. If you're using a minibus, something that sort of crossed my path in the past, you need a PSV license to drive one that fits 17 or more people in it. So if you've got 11 players, 5 on the bench, the manager's got to drive, and there's nowhere for the sponge man to go.
That's right. It's slightly different at non-league level, as you say, because the whole idea of bringing in more subs, I think at a lot higher level, was to give young players the opportunity to flourish. And I get that, I understand that, but at non-league level, when you Step 4, if your young players are good enough, they'll get that opportunity anyway. So I don't necessarily think that increasing the number of substitutes would help that. But as you say, with that comes a logistical nightmare, and in fact you've got to bring these extra people to the games at extra travel costs and kit and
It's not like the olden days when you used to just give a player a shirt. Now they need 3 shirts, pairs of shorts, socks, training kit, tracksuit.
I've heard of clubs who only go to an away game, deliberately only go to an away game with 3 substitutes, knowing that it reduces costs and it gives players, more room in a small changing room, and needed lots of different reasons, and you know, to protect injuries, that kind of thing. You could go on and on about different things, but yeah, I think at this level it's slightly different.
My big concern is, you know, and I get it. We want to replicate. We want to be, you know, taken as, you know, that we're the same as everybody else across football. And I'm constantly on about that, you know. We shouldn't have some games where there's VAR. We shouldn't have VAR, really, but, you know, hey-ho. We should play the same game that they play at every level across the world, and that should be the same football. And I get that maybe, you know, everybody else got five subs, let's bring it up. I don't quite see the benefit to our clubs lower down, and what I don't want it to do is to encourage clubs to overspend.
That's right. It's, again, as you say, you're housing more players, and you've got more responsibility. Is more to, you know, when there's more people to cater for, and I think there are more problems. I think that
they need solving.
But like the number of substitutes, I was quite surprised in the National League. I must admit, because I know the vote was passed in the Football League. I think I'm right in saying, but yep. Not the National League. They couldn't quite get it over to a certain percentage. Was that the?
That's my understanding. Yeah, and again. I think it's a big, as much as we're both saying it's not really the most important thing that we need to be talking about, but it is a talking point that probably needed a bit more airing before they sort of start rolling stuff in like this. So people understand both sides of the argument.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, we all knew that the AGM cut was coming, and so maybe it was worth more than just a tick on an agenda box, or you know, or an itinerary box. So it's something I think that probably could have been discussed more at length, and involving more people. Because you're talking about the future of the game that we're all involved in.
Let me throw it out there to some of our more statistician type members of the audience out there. I'd love someone next season to, you know, do early on, just do me a little spreadsheet or something. I'm sure there's someone that will do it. Of these sides are now allowed five subs. Are they naming five subs? And also some insight as to whether those five subs are actually at the game. That would be interesting to see what a big difference it is. Because I've been at plenty of games where the number of subs are listed. I think all five subs are listed, and there's just the manager standing in a dugout, and either he's fallen out with the subs or left them, locked them in the dressing room, or he had availability problems.
A 12-year-old ball boy or something. You know?
Now, before I let you go, John, I did say that close season, we keep saying it's smaller than ever before. Now, I'm going to take a little break after this show, but you're going to be in and around. I'll still be in and around the ether as well, I guess. But you're going to still be there, because mainly the news and info still comes thick and fast. A couple of dates already for the diary. Friday the 1st of July, the FA are going to confirm who's accepted in the competitions in the FA Cup, FA Trophy, FA Vars. Friday the 8th of July, we're going to get the first set of fixtures in those competitions.
That's right, yeah. It's never ending, is it? And this season probably even more so, because we've had the late finish. So I think we've only got like a 3 or 4 week window before the pre-season starts again. We were talking to a lot of managers at the NGAs this week, and they were saying, "Oh yeah, we're back in training. We're back in training end of June, early July." So it's they literally only had sort of 2 weeks, and it's slightly difficult this time of year getting hold of some managers and players, because it's holiday season and they're all on their holidays and well deserved breaks.
I'm probably showing my age now, though. I remember before they all had mobile phones. That was very hard.
No, that's right. Yeah, but say it's a bit easier now because some players you can talk to via social media on the beach, you know, and and actually you'll be surprised in amount of players that are willing to do that. You know, yeah. usually it was back in the old days it was, I know, so I'm away for 2 weeks, leave me alone, kind of thing. And but now it's I'm just sitting by the beach, you don't mind. So yeah, it's
This is the modern day non-league player. They're all supping non-alcoholic cocktails. That's what it is.
That's it. You never get it out of them, can you?
In between those dates on the FA Cup, while I remember as well, we've also got the National League saying that they're going to publish their fixtures on Wednesday, the 6th of July. They've also mentioned when the playoff final is going to be, but not where it's going to be held yet, which I thought was maybe a little bit short-sighted. Yeah,
possibly. Although they did indicate that they were in talks, weren't they?
Yes.
Which was quite interesting. I think they were quite keen to get that out there, that that they're already talking playoff final for next year. I think it will be in their interests, as of your question, to get it out there as soon as possible, to avoid a dilemma like last year, which didn't really look great on them. It probably wasn't their fault. I think at the time they kind of run out of feasible options. Mm. So they've obviously decided to get things going a lot earlier this time around. And you know, if they state very early on that the playoff final is going to be held at such and such a place, then you know, it takes away any argument in the build up to that final.
Yeah, yeah, and so I'm sure plenty more to report on. I know that the awards will be I'm sure front and centre of the paper. But what else can we expect to read in this weekend's edition of the non-league paper?
We've obviously, as you say, touched on the National Game Awards. We've highlighting all of those. We've got interview with Notts County's new manager, Luke Williams. We've sat down and spoken to him. We got a nice interview with the chap Lowe. He's just gone from Brackley to Accrington Stanley, whose first name eludes me, as I speak. The full Matt Lowe, who's just moved from Brackley to Accrington Stanley, and he was telling us about he's been learning how to be a teacher at university. He was offered his dream job and has now turned it down to become a professional at Accrington. So he had two unbelievable life choices to choose from. So that's a really nice interview with him. And we got plenty in there. We've got FC United. Been talking about they're already underway pre-season. They've been playing overseas. And we've got a nice interview with Jamie Day as well. Who
I saw Jamie's back. Yes,
talking about overseas. Yes, that's right. He's been coaching over in Bangladesh, the Bangladesh national team, and he's back and looking for a club. So we've sat down and had a nice interview with him, and he's a popular figure. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, well, we look forward to reading the paper at the weekend. Thanks for all your help and all the team this season, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
No problem at all. Thank you very much. Cheers, Tim. All the best.
And that's it for this week, and that's it for this season. We're going to go on a rather short summer break, just so while we get things in order and get things set up ready for next season, which is very fast approaching, as we've just discussed there. Thanks as ever to John Couch and the team at the Non-League Paper for all the help this season. There's always so much newsworthy stuff to cover, and their insight and knowledge is always well received. A big thank you to all of you as well for listening, and hopefully we'll have you back on side in a little over a month for the new season two. So before I go, I thought I'd try and round up when the league seasons begin up and down the country. And if I've got this wrong, my apologies now. I was just trying to be helpful. On Saturday the 30th of July, which is the start of the league season for those in the Eastern Counties League, the Essex Senior and Northern Leagues, plus, I believe, the Northern Counties East, Northwest Counties, the United Counties and the Southern Counties East Football League. Week commencing Monday the 1st of August sees the Spartan South Midlands League Premier and the Wessex Premier League get underway. And on Saturday the 6th of August, we see the start of the Vanarama National League, the Vanarama North and Vanarama South, as long with the Step 3 divisions in the Southern League, the Combined Counties League, the Wessex League and the South West Peninsula League, as well as the Division 1s of some of those who started the week before. On Saturday the August the 13th sees the rest of Step 3 and Step 4 underway with the Isthmian League, the Northern Premier League and the remainder of the Southern League. So don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom and find our archive there as well. And also find them all on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe. See you soon. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber production. J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.